Well, it was kind of funny. Chris and I were talking about how, there are kind of some long-term storylines, but the Continental Classic is interfering with them. Like Andrade and Miro seem to be on some type of collision course, but it's like, nah, you gotta wait because no one is at ringside for these matches. And
Yes.
that actually was the part that I'm just like, oh, like I've kind of forgotten that AEW has actually had clean finishes for the most part
Yes.
in this Continental Classic, and I'm just like, I feel like maybe that's one of the reasons why I've enjoyed it is I'm like, oh, this is kind of refreshing for these guys. Like, there isn't all kinds of shenanigans going on in these matches,
Yeah.
unlike the rest of the show that's almost always shenanigans.
No, all right. So in that aspect, I was actually thinking that today, because Swerve comes down, and the embassy walks away, and it's like, keep walking, don't come back. Like, nada. I don't care about nada. None of it. Just Swerve doesn't need any of that stuff. But and then what was it? The 1 week, like Lethal comes out. And they'd send all Jarrett and all them. I'm like, keep walking. Like, there's budget, 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 budget. Like, all of them gone. And then, because you're right. Like, it's the matches. My problem with this thing is not the matches.
No.
It's, well, in a sense, and part of it is, yes. It's, so we're like, right now, Moxley and Jay White are going. Why didn't you save that for a pay-per-view? Like, a lot of these first-time matchups or dream matchups or whatever else, you're giving away on free TV, and then for what? And that's my biggest problem with this thing. For what?
A new championship, sir.
Another fucking championship? Holy shit, man!
We are encroaching on participation trophy territory here in AEW.
All right, so I can't tell. Are they combining three titles into one? Or is it you just get to hold all three at once? Or, like, is. All right, so, and I'm being dead serious, and maybe I missed this. Is the Continental Classic a Continental title? If so, I know there's like a belt in the middle now. I'm guessing that's the Continental title.
Yeah, the one under wraps is still the Continental title. It's
Okay.
in some nice black velour.
So we're gonna have, well, and I guess New Japan doesn't care that their never open weight title's going away. I don't know. The Ring of Honor that no one watches anyways, that title's going away. Like, I don't understand what's going on. And then they already have, if I remember this right, they already have a world title. The AEW world title.
Yes.
They have an international title. Remember that? Remember when Orange Cassidy was their biggest star because he had the best matches every week? I do. Apparently not the people who run the show.
He's still been on TV, but he has definitely this second run, because it happened ass backwards, has not turned out terribly well.
He just fought some guy dressed like someone from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I love that match.
I didn't see it. But it's like, all right. But again, like, this is the whole thing with AEW. Who the fuck is that guy? Why is he getting a championship match? It's the same stuff with this league.
Oh, man.
You just bring somebody in. At least when Cody was doing it, it made sense. Because he was always doing an open challenge for anybody from any promotion.
Oh.
This is, hey, Orange Cassidy's fighting this guy for the title because he earned it. You're
Yeah,
doing what?
he won some type of. Now, I don't know if it was a direct correlation, But he did win a match at ROH's final battle the evening before Collision. I'm not quite... If that's what can... I'm trying to remember how they worded it. If, you know, he actually won the chance at Orange Cassidy, or if they decided on him after the win. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember how it was worded.
I know, like, if AEW would have started like this, like they said they were going to, this Continental Classic would be awesome. Because we're getting all these matches. Now, I still disagree with giving away some of them on free TV, right? But it's an athletic contest. And not everyone you think is going to win wins. All right, that's kind of a surprise. And I know it's supposed to be like the G1 for New Japan. You know, so like the champion can lose during it. Okay.
No. Right.
But that's not how they've established this whole damn company. Like, everything's taken a back seat to the Continental Classic that gives you another championship while you're holding two other championships. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's almost like instead of stripping MJF of his championship because he can't wrestle right now, they've decided to create a championship instead.
They created a women's Ring of Honor television title.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Holy God! What, and this is... No offense to anybody who wrestles for Ring of Honor. Who watches that?
Not a lot of people.
I mean, I know they had people at the pay-per-view event. And it was actually reasonably priced. So they got that going for them. But again, it's just, there's no, like, people will make excuses that there are stories in AEW. You have MJF, Edge and Christian, which is hilarious. It's 2023. Edge and Christian have a story going.
Yeah.
Miro and Andrade, sorta.
Yeah, because of the Continental Classic, that one again has been problematic to develop because you can't interfere in a guy's matches.
Yeah, which and here's another thing. If you can do that for this, right? The Continental Classic.
Yeah.
And everyone listens, then why don't you do that for the whole thing?
Yeah, and that is going to be my biggest problem, is that after this is over, it's just going to be full-on shenanigans all the time. Or more than likely it's going to be that.
I'm sorry, I just talked over you. What'd you say?
I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and said more than likely.
Yeah, it's an absolute guarantee. Because you already know MJF and Samoa Joe is going to have shenanigans. You just know, it's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
So, it just, I know I'm sounding down. It's because I am. Like, this Continental Classic is pointless. And matches don't get people to watch. Storylines do. Characters do. They're doing a decent job of the characters, but all of the character work is done off camera or off TV. It's on YouTube. It's on their Instagram page.
No.
And I know you want to get people to go to your YouTube because that's more money, whatever else, but all we get are matches. That's it. You don't get follow-up. You don't get anything.
Their YouTube is actually useful now?
Yeah, they've cleaned it up a lot. I guess because, like, Dark and Elevation, all that's gone, all that stuff.
I just remember it just being hard to navigate previously. Like, it's one of the... I guess I haven't even thought about it. The WWE, like, YouTube sends me, like, half a dozen clips a day of WWE clips on YouTube. But I don't get any for AEW, even though I know that I follow them.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I don't know if it's just my, maybe I can't speak much on YouTube. I think it's gotten better. To me, they've cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Instagram, I'm not so sure. I still get a bunch of stuff from them, but also Instagram kind of stinks unless you switch stuff around. Because, you know, you get stuff from 5 days ago. Can you believe this happened or coming up on Dynamite? Like, this already happened. But, the bigger point, though, is the story of the tournament is never on their television product.
No.
It's always on a secondary thing, which I understand media is changing, but your show's not on YouTube. And they don't even tell you on the broadcast to go get reactions, after-match interviews, nothing. They don't tell you this on the show.
Oh.
So if you don't follow it, you don't know.
They could definitely do a better job. As much as they put Excalibur through his paces with his Micro Machines man impersonation, you would think that maybe they could throw that into one of those such segments.
Yeah, just one. Or just like at the end of this show. I won't spoil the end of it, but it's like at the end of this show. Be like, hey, go to our YouTube page in the morning, or go to our YouTube page at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for reactions and responses to tonight's main event. Now, maybe they're not allowed. I mean, I don't know how like TV contracts work like that. Maybe YouTube's or Time Warner's like, no. But I don't know. It would be better than nothing.
Yeah, you would still think just because of the size of YouTube that even they would be aware of the help that that could provide them.
Yeah, I mean,
Time Warner. There could be, I'm saying
what a corporation's like saying synergy. We can create a synergistic relationship between us and YouTube. Cross promotion, we all make money off of it.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know, man. It's nice seeing matches with finishes. You still get some goofy shit in there, like, okay, whatever. But my problem's not the matches, and that's usually never my problem with AEW, anyways. So
yeah, that is rarely been the problem on this show.
Well, I will say for me, yes, I have had problem with matches with guys standing around like the usual guys standing around while some guy jumps from
the middle rope to the second rope
across the thing. So, yeah, like all that stuff, of course, or not selling stuff, you know, like giant moves. And also, so on that.
I guess because of this Continental Classic, I feel like there's, just because of the wrestlers involved, we haven't had much of that stuff. Like, that's been pushed off a little more on Rampage these days.
Yeah, which, the way, they have the, they've got the Julia Hart,
Sky Blue,
or was that Collision, and then Abaddon comes back, and then Thunder Rosa comes out and helps her. Like, what? Thunder Rosa was a champion, and now she's stuck with this stuff? Like, okay. That's kind of weird. And still no Britt Baker, no mention of Jamie Hayter, or Rebel. It's just, unless Britt Baker's going to turn out to be the devil, which is still hilarious if it happens.
Yep. So, yeah, since you're not giving spoilers, I'm going to assume that that is not actually revealed tonight.
No.
Because I am at, the true bottom feeder match of whichever. I still have the leagues pulled up here. Oh, the Gold League here. Jay Lethal versus Mark Briscoe is on the on the television at present.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is someone leaves town with 0 points for this whole tournament.
Or do they?
Oh, man. They could. Oh, my God. If this goes to a tie and both of them get points, that's like kissing your sister right there.
It's also like a cop. I mean, it doesn't happen, but it's still a cop out. Like,
I don't mind the time limit. That's what one of the few tropes that I do like that AEW occasionally busts out that the WWE hasn't really ever gotten into.
No, WWE doesn't even announce time limits anymore, so that's never going to happen unless it's an Iron Man match. Like, is many things as WWE is slightly like course corrected. That's not one of them yet.
Oh no!
So, and they need to, but it's just simple aesthetics. That's it. You don't even need to, like, even if it's like this match is set for 10 minutes for one fall, and you know, and then just have it go 15, and everyone's like, "Hey, you said it was 10 minutes." Like, yeah, well, you know, paying attention, I guess. So.
Yeah, they're not typically going to go over that anyway.
Yeah, no. But yeah, so with AEW, like, the show tonight, it just kind of encapsulates everything I've been thinking and how I've just lost interest. Like, I don't, you know, I like good matches. All right, cool. But is it almost, like, for me, it's almost to the point where it's like, cool, we're going to get at least 2 good matches a show. And then talking that doesn't really go anywhere so far, and then jobber matches. And did you get to Roderick Strong and Commander?
I did not.
Why? Like, I don't understand why that's on the show. And then you've got, like, the Acclaimed are on Saturday, a show on, especially this week, I can't imagine it's going to get a lot of eyes. With being Christmas weekend, I don't understand. Like, Orange Cassidy's not on the show, but I guess it'd be too confusing having the international title while you're going for the continental title.
Yeah, they love championships in AEW.
They just gotta have a belt for everything.
Just love championships.
Here's the first quarter hour of Dynamite title. Here's just an end. If this ended, honestly ends, and I know this isn't going to happen, but if this honestly ended with a tournament, oh God, not another one, but a tournament, a fatal 4-way, 3-way, or just a 4-way elimination match where you've got the AEW champion, Continental, and International. Throw them all in together. And whoever wins is the AEW champion, and the two others go out the goddamn window. And go back to having the TNT title. No. Yeah. TNT title. And we're all happy again. And then we can actually have feuds.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, I mean, it's been weird. Like, just because Christian's in his own little orbit on the show, it's like he's featured, but sometimes I forget that he's also the TNT champion.
Yeah, he doesn't need that title.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like, the feud is so personal that the title seems secondary in the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And you could, you know, you could get around some up-and-comer like Luchasaurus. Or what's his name now? Killswitch?
Yeah, Killswitch.
He'll switch. Okay.
Yep.
I'm guessing he must have ran into some problems, trademarks or something. Because I know that, like, he was being sued over the mask and all that stuff. So.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, they settled it finally. Yeah. That was the rumor why he disappeared for a few months. They were trying to get the lawsuit finished. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was the rumor. There was definitely a lawsuit. Why he was off TV was unknown. So.
Yeah, and I do feel like the mask looks a little bit different these days. Definitely went all black.
Yeah, which is a positive.
instead of that, but I'm not sure I ever put a finger on it there, but yeah, that could be it. That he just needed to do that at some point.
Now, I have not been watching Collision just because of my different travels and then being sick and then the Lions being on Saturdays. Has Sting been on Collision at all?
No, since that kind of big push, he has not been on.
All right, so this Continental Classic has really just screwed everything up. I mean, you bring out Ric Flair, Darby, all that. I mean, I guess there's nothing nowhere for them to go right now until they have his last match, March
That
3rd.
and Darby Allin probably really needs time off.
Isn't he climbing Mount Everest right now?
Oh shit, I forgot that supposedly he is climbing Mount Everest. They're preparing to climb Mount Everest.
So, which, by the way, I know this is going to sound stupid. Is that really much of an achievement anymore?
And not really.
They got blind people doing that. So if you're in like decent health, decent shape, that shouldn't be that bad.
No, it feels like people have turned it into a this is how you train for it. If you train for it, you can do it.
I mean, I know a lot of people have died, but they're
Yeah.
also wearing clothes that are made out of straight cotton and wool. So, you know, that shit's old. Or just one big search party. I don't know why I'm laughing about people dying, but I guess climbing a mountain's a pretty fucking stupid reason to die. Like, you got a pretty good
Well,
life going, and then you're like, hey, I'm gonna go climb a mountain just to show I can do it.
yeah, I mean, I guess that's I'm like, okay, like a lot of people have done this. Like, you're not, and I'm sure that someone did it before Sir Edmund Hillary? Is it
Yes.
Hillary? Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
So. Yeah, don't really care, but yeah, you're not that person to be the first one to do it. Like after, yeah, I feel like it's been commonplace or somewhat commonplace for a decade. Like, yeah, it's still somewhat treacherous because you're
Oh,
climbing up
absolutely.
a very, very, very tall mountain and narrow passages, and it's cold as fuck. But
I don't know, you kind of make me backtrack by like as we explain it more. I'm like, no, it still seems pretty rough, right?
Yeah, oh
Oh,
no. Like, it's
man.
not, it's
They should have shown a rough
doable,
up.
but yeah, it's still, yeah, you're climbing up the tallest mountain in the world. Like, I mean, it's still work. But again, like, I mean, he's in I mean, he's in good health. Like, to me, there's no reason that he shouldn't be able to do it. Like, to me, it just seems like he should, like, yeah. That guy seems pretty set on what he wants to do, and I feel like he's gonna get this one knocked out.
Yeah, it
Maybe.
doesn't seem like he wants to live long or live a life of like comfort as he gets older. It really doesn't. But he's doing the classic and he's not young. He's in his 30s, isn't he?
I'd have to check, but I do think that he is at least not.
But it's like that jackass mentality. I mean, even like, well, Steve-O did a lot of drugs, which doesn't help.
He
But
is
like,
30, exactly.
oh, all right. Well, he is younger than I thought then. Well, he's on that cusp of being like, hey, like that's where some of these skater guys or bike guys pull him aside and go, hey, I'm in pain a lot because of this stuff. Like, you know, for everything we see how awesome it is. Like I was watching an interview with Tony Hawk, and he was talking about how he almost never skated again because he like snapped his leg. And then tried going back out on it too early and ended up snapping it again. And he's like, to this day, it still bothers me. And it's like, yeah, just, you know, I know you want to do things, but you can be smart about it. You know?
Yeah.
With nutrition, training, you know, all that stuff, you can actually do the stuff as you get older. You don't have to pack it all in now. Which is actually kind of like, well, I was going to mention earlier, I keep seeing a lot of the same moves in this Continental Classic, and they all have to do with doing some sort of flip on the outside of the ring, and like your opponent either hitting the outside of the ring or just grazing it and falling to the floor. Like Canadian destroyers, backflips. I don't know. Whatever else comes to mind. It's like, stop this.
I am so tired of ring apron spots. It's the hardest spot on the ring. Oh my fucking God, stop. Like, and I mean, I don't feel like the WWE or is saints about this either.
No, they're not.
AEW is worse, but WWE has their fair share of them too. And it's just like, guys, just okay, enough. Like you said, like when it gets to the point where it's Canadian destroyers on the outside, it's like, yeah, it's like, what are we doing here? Like, you can't convince me that it's hard if the guy takes a Canadian destroyer on the hardest part of the ring and then wrestles another 5 minutes.
Five? Shit. That's like a setup move now. Oh, wait till you see this Moxley match. He uses so many different finishers that don't do anything. It's hilarious. He uses Brian Danielson's running knee, the stomp, diamond cutter, I think his DDT. He does kind of a Stone Cold Stunner and something else, and none of it gets a pinfall. And I'm like, is he doing this on purpose right now? He just felt like using all these without any effects, but yeah, whatever with him. But I am tired of seeing ring apron spots.
No.
Like, it's enough. And unless it leads to a finish, I could not believe on Raw to like go to like how to finish stuff. Bronson Reed and Ivar.
Yeah.
Bronson, that was a couple weeks ago. I think I'm missing because I was sick. They ended the match with a superplex. I was in shock. Because it made absolute sense. Those two big bastards flying off the top rope, both of them. Yeah. Yeah, you should be dead. Yes. But not here. I'm going to give you a destroyer, a backflip. I'm going to do the two-arm thing. I'm going to hit you on the... And then you're going to kick out at one and power up like Hogan. Like, okay. Cool.
I do feel like they've avoided that on the Continental Classic matches themselves. I feel like that's been elsewhere on the card.
It happened with Roosh and Swerve.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, Swerve like beats the hell out of him with a bunch of moves, gets a one count.
Oh, yeah.
Roosh pops up, and, like he's Hulk Hogan all of a sudden. And then at least Strickland like countered it and like knocked him down real fast. But I'm still like, well, one, two bad guys, you know, it's always hard. But they keep wanting to remind you how Swerve's a bad guy, but no one cares because Swerve's awesome.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag on that one.
He's been awesome for a long time.
Well, it's kind of hard to be the good guy, though, when you invade someone's house and try to kill their baby.
You saw the... No, he was just looking. But you saw the crowd. They were cheering for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They don't care.
No, it's typical AEW crowd, where... You just can't have bad guys for any length of time. You know, yeah. As soon as that angle was over and he won the Texas death match, it's been on for Swerve since then.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And good. He deserves it. Like, he was on his way in WWE and Vince McMahon fucked him over by telling him, all right, get rid of people. Anyone that was in NXT, get rid of. That was smart. And then Tony Khan just kind of diddled around with him. And then, I mean, he's always been one of those guys to me that was like undeniable. Not to use a Cody Rhodes thing, but.
Right.
He was always going to break out. It took him a little bit in NXT, and then they hit that whole, you know, hit row. Start taking off then.
Yeah.
They go to the main roster and they just shit on him. Like,
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, again, it took, well, because he didn't sign with them right away, did he?
yeah, as soon as his no compete was over, he did.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah, he jumped right on it.
But it still took him a while to get to where he's at here.
Right, because well, they had him in that tag team with Keith Lee, and then
Yeah.
that feud seemingly went forever. And then he had those two goofy white guys.
Oh, yep. Yeah, Parker Boudreau and the other
The
dude
guy that used to be a pitcher for the Padres, I guess, which
oh.
was like, wait, what? But yeah, but then this just took off, and I
Yeah.
know like Prince Nana gets a lot of the press, but he don't need to be out there.
He has certainly outlived his usefulness.
Swerves a presence onto himself. And it's obvious. I mean, the guy just comes out in a jacket. Like, he doesn't have, like, you got the music. And by the way, is that music? Is that him doing that song?
I always assume that it's him
Okay. All right.
or someone
I
that
figured
he
so.
has worked with.
Yeah. Because he does do his own music. That's a real thing. So, yeah. And it's amazing to, like, see his podcast, how he is in real life compared to how he is on TV. I think I mentioned this last show. It's like the Adam Cole effect. Such a nice dude. And he's just an asshole, a bad asshole on TV, so. So, yeah. And it was funny. So they said MJF got inducted into the Jewish, was it Jewish Sports Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah,
And
something like
she goes, is MJF Jewish? I was like, yes. Oh, I didn't know that. I was like, I didn't know until he said something too. So.
that. Kind of always a hard thing to assume on a looks basis, in my opinion.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting at. But then I guess his last name was Friedman. I was like, oh, I guess. But. Well, I always thought the ski was straight Polish, but I forget Polish is a nationality, not a religion. So that always messed me up whenever someone was Jewish and they had like a ski on the end of their name, but they were usually it's a Y, not an I. So I'm just learning all this stuff because most of the time it doesn't matter worth a damn. So it's like. It's like if you're an asshole, then sure, I'll use whatever I can against you. So that's all I've really got for AEW this week, man. I just whatever.
Well, yeah, I'm just at some MJF and Samoa Joe here right now, so I'm pretty useless on AEW with this
It's an
the
interesting.
always trashy Wednesday. Well, actually, this Wednesday record has not been terrible at this point,
Last
so.
week's wasn't. Last week's Wednesday wasn't a bad one either. I didn't say anything until the show was over. I was like, oh my God, it's a Wednesday. It actually went off pretty well. Wait a minute, was last weekend when I kept getting everyone's name wrong?
It might have been 2 weeks
Okay, well, if that's the case, then that's fine too. So, yeah, so
ago.
that worked out. That worked out because that was funny at least. So, but yeah, I don't know.
That was something of a memorable train wreck.
Yes. So yeah, because I kept calling wrestlers by their real names, and then by the end, I was mixing their work name and their real name together, and I'm like, I've had it. I was even drinking. I guess it was the fog of being sick. But so, did you watch NXT?
Yes, sir.
That show seems to be like not in a rut. But just kind of like in a weird holding pattern or at like the very beginning of an eruption. You have Eddie Dennis, God damn it.
I cursed
Eddie
us.
Thorpe. Eddie Dennis is a totally different wrestler. Eddie Thorpe and Dijak. Okay, it's one of the holdovers.
Yep.
But everything else is like kind of new. So except for Fallon Henley and Tiffany Stratton, that's a continuation of one. But like they're trying to build a bunch of new stuff now, and I don't know.
It's kind of interesting. They do seem to be doing a lot of starting from scratch. I'm not sure if, you know, it's always that time of the year, I guess, where we have Royal Rumble coming along and you start to wonder with a couple of these ladies, Tiffany Stratton and Roxanne Perez in particular, about whether they get the main roster call up during the Rumble, or does it happen after Mania? Because neither of them probably would have a very significant story going into WrestleMania anyway, even if they get called up at that time.
Yeah. And, like, was Braun Breaker on the show? I don't remember.
I feel like there was a short mention of him for some reason, but...
Yeah.
He was not terribly prominent.
All right. And, like, Von Wagner's been missing. Again.
Yep.
Tyler Bate wasn't on, but I get the feeling he's going to be showing up with Pete Dunne on SmackDown. So, that's my idea. Because especially with Ridge Holland coming back last night saying he's back in NXT.
Well, I mean, that might have almost been the craziest thing, is that we got... three new bodies back in NXT this week.
So I'm guessing we're going to have, it's kind of just a weird like partner swap. Dragon Lee is going to be with
Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Phoenix, right?
No, it's Joaquin Wild now.
Okay.
Wait. No, Joaquin Phoenix is an actor. Oh, good. Now I'm rubbing off on you. Good. And on SmackDown, Santos has Los Lotharios out of the blue. So I don't know why the partner swap. I guess they just like doing that. But
yeah,
that'd be a match for WrestleMania, I'm guessing.
They had a clean break for whatever reason. They decided to have a clean break.
Yeah.
Because Del Toro and Wild need a lot of help if they're to get any level of importance.
Del Toro's thing is his accent. There's no way around it. So just have someone talk for him. Let Wild be the guy that talks. Let him be the Dennis Condrey, the Stan Lane to Del Toro's Bobby Eaton. You know, just let him not talk too much. It's fine. But yeah, I just thought that was a weird, like a weird appearance. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, their tag team division is awfully crowded on NXT.
Well, I mean, well, it looks like they're breaking up Jensen and Briggs.
That does seem to be on the outs, I guess.
And when did Jensen's hair start falling out?
Oh, it's...
That widow's peak is getting something severe as he's growing his hair out. So
yeah, that one feels like one of those situations where someone's growing it out more because of how much it is balding.
Yeah. Well, his dad was bald as the moon, so it would make sense, I guess. Because that old wives' tale about how if you're bald, you follow your mother's father. That's garbage. Like, my grandfather had hair till the day he died. So, if that's the case, then mine should have never fallen out. So, just not fucking witch's tale bullshit. But, yeah, but it's like NXT was just a tough one for me this week. It wasn't terribly interesting, and... My big problem, and it's always been a problem, they got to get the hell out of Full Sail or wherever they're at. Those live crowds they get for their premium live events, man, that energizes the show.
Yeah, I guess have advocated, and not that the WWE is going to listen to me, about even just the local circuit, if they want to not go too far or spend too much money on travel.
Exactly.
You know, one would think that they could do something a little more cost effective in that department. And again, like, just go to places that are 1,000, 2,000 people. Like, I'm sure you can find those types of arena and people. Because I do feel like when they do the local shows, they get a pretty decent crowd when they I felt like, did they do house shows for a while there?
Yeah, I went to a few. They were fun. They had people, too.
Well, I guess I meant, well, yeah, I guess they did that on the road, but I felt like they had just a Florida exclusive loop that I'm thinking of in particular.
Yeah, they do a Florida loop once every few months, I think. But a year, I mean, I'm not even aiming for like 2,000 people. Do it in front of 500. Or have a similar size crowd, but just somewhere outside of that place. So that the people who are there want to be there. Like, make them pay, you know, not to make money, but to make sure you're getting people who want to be there. And now people are like, let's go watch a wrestling show. Like, no, you know, and then maybe, like, get into the stuff a little bit more. They get into what they want to, which is always a problem. So,
I guess a little bit more crowd always helps. I just always feel like volume level is volume level, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, get that crowd just always, it points, it always seems stale. And it just seems like getting out of there would be just better, you know, a good experience for them in general too.
Yeah. But like, there were like, I'm not trying to be negative on NXT. There were some highlights. Andre Chase and whatever. There, I don't remember their
Duke Hudson.
Well, no, I do remember Duke, but it was Scripps and those two dudes, whatever they're called.
Lucian Price, I think.
Jesus. No one's remembering these people's names.
I'm trying to remember the other one without looking at the.
What was their stupid ass tag team name?
Out the mud.
Yeah, there we go. So, I love they're playing craps. Wait, was that craps? I mean, what the hell were they playing? Just dice? I don't gamble, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure either.
He just keeps doing it, and Duke Hudson looked kind of like a badass with the hoodie on and stuff. Like, all right, that's kind of strange. And, like, him being the voice of reason's kind of fun. And then just, it's still the absurdity of it.
Oh, yeah. Bronco Nima, other name. Lucian Price was correct. I actually remembered half of that tag team. Holy smokes.
I will never remember them. Like, maybe Lucius Price, sure. Bronco, okay, if you just call him Bronco, fine. I'm not going to remember both names. So, like, I kept wanting to call him Sticks and not Scripps. Because who cares? He's Reggie. But
I've liked him as the is the hood speaker. So,
oh, I loved him as Scripps. I thought that was pretty awesome with the goofy mask that was four sizes too big. But no, like that whole segment was so dumb. And then the whatever she is she one of the? She's not an underboss, I guess. I don't know what she is. Informant, snitch. Just shows up out of the blue.
Yeah, I mean, they've had her at a couple of the family dinners. Yeah. I feel like, but they haven't really defined that. Have they even given her a name?
I'm sure they have, but it was probably in passing. And then she hasn't exactly been on a lot, except as like just a bit character.
Yeah, I guess that's why I'm like, hold on, why is she? Like, this is kind of a crucial role, isn't it? Like, why don't we know who this person is at this point? Definitely was a thought that ran through my head after she popped up to agree to the terms.
Yeah, and I did like he's winning. So again, not being a gambler like that, if he rolls that last roll, was that a good roll? Is that what I was supposed to think?
I guess I felt like it was supposed to be a bad roll.
Okay. All right, so that is that why Duke gave him that look like I told you?
Oh.
Not that it mattered after that, but
Yeah, in some ways I'm like, well, I mean, he quit, so that's good, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. So I don't know. And then also, if he has no money, how does he have a stack of $100 bills?
well, he did say he only came with $300.
I guess he
But
must have won all the rest.
it also seems like just playing dice with out the mud is not going to be lucrative enough to pay off what you owe Tony D. You know, that's my biggest problem.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like out the mud should be mad about being hustled that much. Or this debt is not as much as people would like to
Yeah, exactly. It's like I guess it's
admit.
like he's so desperate, he thinks that's what's gonna do it. I mean, he doesn't have people doing a bake sale for God's sake. So, but there was that stood out to me. Thea Hale and JC Jayne being this odd couple. Even though Thea Hale is trying to be like JC Jayne, and it's so awkward, her trying to be sexy, or whatever JC Jayne's supposed to be, depending on your likes. So, that made me laugh, just how awkward she was, trying to sway her hips and jet her chest out like JC Jayne does.
Yeah, that act continues to get some enjoyment from this end of the microphone for
Yeah.
sure. Like you said, like Thea Hale just kind of had does have that very earnest very young and impressionable
Yeah.
thing going for her because, well, she's 20 years old.
Yeah. And now she's got a crush on somebody at Chase U. So now she's getting ready to lose the V card, I guess. That's what I would expect is going to happen. So.
Yeah, I mean they've been playing it like something like a John Hughes movie, and
Yeah.
I'm here for it. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So what'd you think of the closing segment?
I don't know why you go this route.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Like, it doesn't really do anything for anybody. Like, Ridge Holland hurts another wrestler again? Like, okay. If it was on purpose, okay, cool. That's a story. That's a storyline now. He's a killer, right?
Yeah.
But this is just that he does clumsy stuff. Like, wait, what? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't help Ridge. I mean, it doesn't really do anything. Yeah, it doesn't do anything for Ilya at all, for Dragunov at all.
No, just preoccupies him.
It doesn't do anything for Trick at all. Who?
Unless it's just it's made solely to delay Trick and Ilya Dragunov, so that Ilya has to come back. He has to get revenge on Ridge first, accident or not. That's just how intense he is,
Yeah.
and then he'll get the Trick. That's what I'm guessing this is. It's like a pit stop. Because if they're gonna anoint Trick as a big player, isn't that the spotlight supposed to, it should be on WrestleMania weekend?
They could hold out until then for Trick.
It's only 4 months. They only do pay-per-views or premium live events every 2 months now. So they've got, was a deadline coming up, which is on TV.
Yeah.
I think they have one in February, don't they? Again. Probably. So you could have Ilya and Ridge at the February one, and then Trick and... Because remember, you got to get the Trick and Mello sometime in there, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, that they have been teasing that for a long time.
Yeah. And, or maybe they don't. I don't know. But.
And, I mean, with as much as they have teased this, I don't know how you don't have that happen at some point.
Yeah.
Like, if Carmelo weren't playing it so disingenuous all of the time.
Yeah.
I would think that they could get away breaking up without fighting. To me, you don't act that way without being guilty.
Right. Yeah. And then trying to get your way into the championship match as well. Like, there's another justification for turning on him, you know, in the heel's eyes. So,
yeah.
But I was like, I know there's probably other stuff we're missing with NXT too, but those are the things that stood out to me. Besides Dragon Lee being awesome still. I mean, that's, I'm going to maintain he's, well, we'll get to that part in a second, but whenever Ray's decided to be done, it just seems like that mantle's right there for him.
Well, and they finally seem like, I can't believe that Booker T's already picked up on pushing him. Like, when you've won Booker T over, I feel like you've done something for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, it's an undeniable thing that the guy's good. So,
And he can talk.
Yes. That's that's always the thing. You can, you know, the matches are the culmination of a story. What gets you, you know, the chapters that precede it are talking. So you kind of have to. So.
Yeah. I guess we did have stuff that missed on NXT here. We have a tournament going on there also.
Sure, whatever. With a bunch of idiotic names I'm not going to remember. Like, just give me the winner so I can remember this. Dude, they give us so many people on this show that you're supposed to remember them all. So, like,
you only need to remember one name in this tournament, baby.
Oh, that one I already know. Unless it's King, obviously. But.
Yeah. It would not have been able. I mean, granted, it's been 1 week, but he defeated Dion Lennox,
which is actually a regular sounding name. That's crazy. How did that get through? It's not Dione Leonexi, or, you know, dumb garbage.
Doesn't have something some tilde in there to
yeah.
To make it,
plot.
And the other match for the breakout star is Luca Crucifino versus Tavian Heights. Those definitely Tavian sound like Heights wrestling names to me.
But what's the other guy? Christian Ronaldo? Is that what you said he was?
Luca Crucifino.
Whatever. He's the lawyer guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, he took the L in this one.
Okay, good. Because he needs to be involved in the Chase U stuff. If you're going to introduce somebody, doesn't he seem to be the perfect person to put in there? A lawyer?
Well, they already have the... Is he a cheerleader? That Thea Hale is fawning over?
He's one of the Chase U students, yeah.
But what did he do gymnastics or something? Because he was on last week's show. I can't remember what, because it was wild when they were introducing him. They're all like from the university of this.
Oh, yeah.
This is
a
like,
bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. Because they introduced the one guy as being, you know, he played for this college and it was in the NFL and now he's trying his hand at NXT. And I'm like, we're never going to hear this again. Don't care. Like, it's not even his real name. So, yeah. But the show introduces so many people. And then there are people that are on, I don't even know their names, because they never actually told us. Ugh. All those women that sit around in the women's locker room, are we supposed to know all their names? You can't do that to your audience.
I did have to rewind, although I didn't really need to in the long run, to see whose name Cora Jade took off of the locker. But then when Carmen Petrovic came out anyway, I was like, oh, well, that kind of helped fill in some blanks here.
Oh, whose name did she take off?
Carmen Petrovic.
Okay, like I said, who? Okay,
yeah,
I know she came out later, but again, it's like another person.
Well, she was...
Please, give me a break, please.
She... I believe she was part of the women's breakout tournament, and she stuck around here. So, did she actually predate that? She might have
predated. I have no idea.
She might have predated that.
Dude, there's a breakout tournament. There's the Iron Survivor tournament. There's this tournament. There's this. We got the Continental Classic going on. Now we've got the United States tournament going on SmackDown. I'm tired.
Tired of tournaments.
College football's got the little 4-team tournament coming up. The NFL playoffs are going to start in a few weeks. Like, I'm done. Let's just have straightforward stuff for a while, please.
If you win your league, you just want it to be like the English Premier League. You just want whoever wins the regular season wins the championship.
Sounds good to me. That's pretty fucking simple.
No playoffs, baby. Just round robin tournament. Whoever has the most points wins.
Yeah, that's pretty baller. Yeah, that sounds awesome, actually. So, yeah. I mean, good lord, man. So, it's more of an AEW thing, but NXT's relying on it a lot. But also, they rely on it a lot because, well, people get hurt, and people get called up out of the blue. So, it's like, okie dokie. But, yeah, let's just get back to having matches, man. And, you know, some matches that matter, some matches that don't, that's fine. Just no more tournaments.
Well, do you want to go ahead and get on out of here, sir?
No, we got to talk about a couple things still.
Oh, one, okay.
Both of the Mysterios re-signed with WWE.
One did not see that news, I guess.
Yes, they both re-signed. The first it was Dominic Mysterio re-signed with WWE. And I was like, wait, that was actually a consideration that he wouldn't?
that's one where it's just like, come on, like.
Well, okay, ooh. I thought the same thing, but that's his name, and he's made, you know, pretty big strides. Would it really be that crazy if he was like, I'm gonna go try my luck in, you know, AEW?
I feel like the WWE is still going to pay him more.
Yes.
I feel like the rumor is out there that the WWE is actually just almost overpaying to keep people at this juncture.
Okay, so that's the other news. Well, I guess they got a lot of people whose contracts are coming up next year. I guess Becky, Seth, Sheamus, Drew... goddamn, there was somebody else too.
Oh, Drew again?
Yeah.
Didn't he sign like a 1-year deal?
No. No, he was already signed. It was just, you know, it's trying to do contract negotiation now ahead of time, as you should. You know, start to go in now.
But then they
said they just signed Charlotte Flair to a new contract. And apparently it's... From what's been said, it's the richest contract for a woman wrestler they've ever given out.
Well, bad.
I mean,
bad timing for them. Good timing for her, I guess, with the injury in some ways.
Yeah, but it's pretty crazy to me that so it was funny. That's why it was funny what I sent you like 2 years ago. Because I guess if it's not coming through on like another pay per view or on paper or whatever, right? It's certainly coming through in reality. Because if they paid Charlotte Flair that much, Becky's got to make more. Becky means more.
Well, and just the women in general are just actually featured now. And I mean, that is definitely more of a Triple H thing. Like, he did not have a problem keeping them in main events in NXT. When he was down there. So I'm not surprised that more women have gotten screen time recently than in a long, long time, if not ever. You know, when Tegan Knox is kind of a regular on TV, like that's how deep they're going. This point. And we got Katana Chance and Caden Carter as your tag. Not that the tag team championships mean that much, but they still have them.
Yeah.
You know? And we've just got done building up I think Chelsea Green and Piper Niven are coming out better on the end of their championship run than they were going into it.
Piper Niven's coming out ahead just because she's not called Dewdrop. You know, and they're letting her be a badass again. So just from that respect, yeah, she's already coming out ahead. So,
yeah,
you know, because that's what she should be because, you know.
Yeah, she's pretty great.
Yeah, that whole Dewdrop thing still annoys me. But no, so it's like, you know, and then also like Charlotte Flair, like, you know, bad timing because she got hurt, right?
Right.
She tore her ACL, MCL, and meniscus. And she still finished the match. Yeah, it was a little ugly. Don't get me wrong. But, good Lord.
Yeah, that's up there with gutting it out. That's up there with the quad blowouts from Triple H and finishing the match. I'm trying to think of some of those other somewhat famous injuries when people, it's just like, oh yeah, I had like my leg blown off by a landmine.
Triple H comes to mind immediately.
Well, that's the one that I already said, the quad blow.
Who the hell?
Because I feel like there's at least one other one in recent, I guess, how is it hard to not talk about Cody Rhodes in this situation?
Oh, God, yeah. Thank you.
Duh. But I feel like there's a third one floating out there that my memory is not picking up right now. though, that was kind of had a mate. Because Cody Rhodes had that injury going into the match and knew kind of what the situation was. Both Triple H and Charlotte were injured during the match, not knowing. I guess, I don't know if Danielson's injuries were quite as bad.
Well, I know when Danielson got hurt, they pulled him, you know? Like, Triple H stopped the match. He wasn't
I'm talking about his AEW here, because did he finish the match that he broke the orbital bone in?
I want to say yes.
Yeah, I get that's what I'm thinking. But it's kind of weird differentiating between that type of an injury and, blowing out a muscle group.
Yeah, because the muscle group's there for stability and all that, right? But you broke your face. You know, It's not like,
yeah.
It's, I mean, I guess you can get through with your face dangling. I guess. I mean, I've seen RoboCop a bazillion times. That dude was melting and still walking. So it's hard to say, you know, all right, whatever. But yeah, like.
Yeah, they're, it's weird. To, yeah, different types of injuries to have to gut through there. But yeah, I don't know why I feel like there's another like quad type Triple H one that I again still hasn't popped in my brain. But
yeah, I'm trying to think too because I was thinking Becky Lynch with the broken nose. No,
because that wasn't even really a match.
I mean, there's Mick Foley, but that's like that almost seems otherworldly, you know.
Yeah, that's one of those. I hope no one ever goes through that ever again in a professional wrestling match. I will be completely fine if that is the case.
Well, what about Finn Balor? Universal title match, because he tore his labrum, something else, and broke something. And still finish the match.
Yeah, that one definitely falls into that category, especially with that wasn't even like a the other two just needed to finish their match. Finn Balor was like a minute into his match when the injury happened.
Okay, so what's worse, injuring it during the match or going into it like Cody did? I mean. I guess you already know you're handicapped in a way, if you're Cody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
They both have an equal amount of suck, that's for sure.
Yeah, could not have been fun either way.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, so that, yeah, that's kind of wild that Charlotte, but yeah, Charlotte gotten through that match.
Yeah,
should be in that pantheon of, you know, finishing matches with a major injury category.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it was ugly. I mean, you could tell something was wrong.
None of them have been good, really, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, Triple H, but Triple H like, even did a pedigree.
Yeah, but especially in hindsight, you can see how badly he is limping around.
Oh, yeah.
but yeah, I mean, he did get a pedigree off. Man, just that is a rough profession to be in.
The whole thing is, so I've actually had arguments with people now when I routinely say wrestlers are better actors than actors are. So, and they think I'm joking. I'm like, I'm not joking in the least bit. So, I'm not hearing any of your bullshit.
Yes, live action is something else.
The only problem is, like, I say that stuff, right? And then you got that segment where you're like, oh, fuck. Like, it's just awful. I mean, just terrible.
I think that the character work in professional wrestling not always the best.
No. But again, you know, sometimes they were getting scripts that day, and they have to go out in front of a live audience and do it. It's like, yeah, and some actors be like, "Oh, I can't do that." Like, whatever. So, and then let alone taking bumps. So, all right. Well, I guess we should get out of here. I saw Charlotte Flair's a badass. So,
there wasn't anything other than the Mysterio signing and Charlotte being a badass.
There was something else. Something about TNA signing somebody, but they haven't said who yet. But they're saying it's a major star.
Kind of, it has me interested, I suppose, but I'm not completely sure who would. Well, the one name that was out there that I did think made some sense, and I mean, you've talked about the women's division down there, Mercedes Moné going to join her old buddy Trinity would not be entirely surprising.
No, I don't see it though. So I don't see that. But
yeah, her name fits the bill at a minimum.
I figured it was gonna be Matt Riddle because he's back wrestling again. He's gonna work in Japan.
Oh,
so I'm guessing he's coming over. Like I know they want everyone to think it's Okada because he's gonna wrestle a match for him coming up. But it's clearly not going to be.
Yeah, I don't think he signed. That would seem ill-advised if he decides to come to the United States.
I guess the word is that that's what he's looking to do. So
come to the U.S. or go to TNA?
No, go to U.S.
Ah.
So, you know, what else can he do over there?
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, like he's like Shinsuke. Everything. Like, Shinsuke had nothing left to do over there. You know? Go to the new territory. Like, sometimes that is good for you. Especially when you've been running that territory for, like, a decade.
Yeah, and it's just, it would be crazy. Like, again, and I know, like, his contract situation's not fulfilled yet. But it's like, okay, Will Ospreay signs with AEW. Yeah.
Yep. Did.
And that's the last you've seen of him. So, cool. And I mean, maybe he can get into the Continental Classic, too. And blow through all the dream matches people want to see on free TV. That'd be smart. But it's like, it's funny how it's changed to where everyone was like, oh, go to AEW, go to AEW, go to AEW. And now, I mean, that's not so clear anymore. I mean, Triple H being involved and Vince being removed from decision-making, I mean...
It's really changed the game.
Yeah, and how you play it. So.
Oh, my God. Okay. We're not going to top.
Not so fun when the shoe's on the other foot, is it?
I'm like, we're not going to top that one, so we may as well just get the fuck out of here. Do you have a bell time beer, sir?
Yes, I actually got a Shiner Holiday Cheer. The Shiner Cheer from a Shiner Bock out of Texas.
Yes.
Excellent every year, and this year is no different. Although it's weird, I'm drinking it out of a 12-ounce can.
Oh,
there were no bottles anymore.
Huh. Yeah, I've only ever had the Shiner out of bottles. So
yeah, so that was a change. Same great flavor though. That is a damn good beer, man.
Did not have a beer during the podcast here, but because we had a leaving the company party for one of our employees today, I did have Homestead Beer Company's Tannenbaum, which is their Christmas ale. I was rather shocked that I had evidently never checked in the regular version of this beer, while I've had the Royal Tannenbaum version, which is... because this is just a Christmas ale, and they combine it with their bourbon barrel imperial stout to do the Royal Tannenbaum. So I was unaware that I had not had just a straight Christmas ale previously, but it's very good. It's that kind of like spicy winter, you know, not terribly hoppy beer that I do appreciate this time of the year. You know, it's a good kind of malty beverage that really leads to my original palate, I would probably say, for craft beer. So, if you happen to be able to find some Homestead Beer Company around your parts, I say have it. They are a very, very good brewery that is just located just east here of Columbus in Heath, Ohio. So I believe they have a pretty good distribution area in the state. So yeah, take a look. Suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. His is from Matt Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Good night, grandkids.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.